Bill Nellist was a hawk-eyed rustic in his late 20s who'd grown up hunting and fishing in the ferny rainforests of Northern California's Humboldt County, not far from the coastal town of Eureka. A lean, patient, wry-witted man, he had the easy confidence of someone who'd spent most of his life outdoors, in deep stands of redwood and Douglas fir, with a gun in his hands. Nellist had taken his natural love of hunting and tracking and applied it to the U.S. Army. People who knew him back in Eureka called him a white Indian. He loved to lose himself in the nuances of terrain, inferring the movements of animals and men from the faintest spoor. Nellist was also said to be the best marksman of all the Alamo scouts. Before the war, he'd been the rifle champion of the California National Guard. Like most great shots, he was adept at estimating distances using nothing more than the sights of his rifle. He placed his M1 on the windowsill and pointed the barrel toward the camp. From his pocket, Nellist produced a large photograph of Cabanatuan Camp that had been taken by Army surveillance aircraft. He began to compare the particulars of the photograph against the details that now lay before him. Then, steadily shifting his gaze between the photograph and his rifle's sight, he was able to triangulate his estimates and arrive at accurate distances between all the camp's major features. He sketched out his own map of the compound, and then took copious notes on every conceivable feature, distances and elevations, what the buildings were constructed of, where the fences were, where the power lines and telephone wires ran. By meshing these new details with the ones the scouts and Filipino guerrillas had already gathered, Nellist was finally getting the full portrait. The enclosure was set out in a vast rectangle, about 800 yards deep and 600 yards across, the grounds cleanly bisected by a dirt road that ran straight as a ruler from the main gate to the rear of the compound. If one were standing at the gate, facing south into the camp, the American prison barracks would all be off to the immediate left of this central road, while most of the Japanese were quartered in buildings to the right. The main entrance was a cumbersome, double-gated construction of lumber and barbed wire, about 8 feet tall. The two big gates could swing in or out like enormous flippers, but now they were closed together and fastened with a single padlock. There were 3 guard towers and 2 pillboxes, and the perimeter of the compound was secured with a succession of 3 10-foot-tall barbed wire fences. A 4th barbed wire fence marked the boundary of the American section. The firmly packed terrain inside the compound was cross-hatched with deep irrigation ditches. Overall, the grounds were almost perfectly flat, except for a slight rise in the rear, where several more Japanese barracks were located. Finally, there was the question of armored vehicles. Nellist and Vakilar couldn't spot any tanks parked out in the open, but it was obvious where they were stored, in a large metal shed located just off the central thoroughfare, approximately 300 yards from the front gate. The cavernous shed, whose galvanized metal sheathing glared in the bright midday sun, was the only structure large enough to serve as a garage. After the raid started, this was where Captain Prince would want to direct the bazooka team. Nellist circled and boldly marked the building on his diagram. With all these details noted, Nellist felt confident that the scouts now had the goods Musi and Prince needed. The next question was how to get the recon report back to Platero. Soon, the answer presented itself. At about 1:30 in the afternoon, Nellist and Vakilar glanced out the rear window and caught a suspicious movement in the grass. "Looks like we have visitors," Nellist said with a grin. 3 Alamo scouts were on their bellies out in the grass, slowly creeping up on the shack. The 3 scouts had come to check up on Nellist and Vakilar, who'd been quietly holed up in the shack for nearly 2 hours. Nellist and his comrades would later recount the particulars of their meeting to historian Forrest Johnson. "You think this is a convention?" Nellist said once the 3 scouts had pulled themselves up into the cramped shack. "Where's the rest of the guys?" "We're spread all over the place," one of the scouts replied. "Here," Nellist said, handing over his completed recon report. "Make yourselves useful. Get this back to Colonel Musi before he blows a fuse. Get lost now. This place is too damn crowded."